there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to a special edition of our program. I'm Rick Wiles. This program was pre-recorded earlier. I am on a two-week business trip to multiple locations in and outside the USA on behalf of True News. Our Heavenly Father has opened the doors for us in recent weeks to possess new territory for His Son Jesus and to occupy that territory until He comes. And we are not wasting any time, but moving quickly to seize the opportunity presented to us. True News is expanding our operations here in Vero Beach. We are recruiting experienced broadcast and journalistic professionals. We are expanding our facility by moving forward with plans to enlarge our studios and offices. And we are assuming ownership and management of a powerful radio station in the Caribbean. And all this is being done by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. I need your prayers right now, and I'm going at full speed, and I need God's grace and favor and protection and provision. And I just ask you to consider joining our End Time News team by becoming a partner with this ministry. Our website is truenews.com, T-R-U-N-E-W-S, truenews.com. And our address is Post Office Box 690069 in Vero Beach, Florida. Our zip code is 32969. Among the many requests that we receive from our audience for program topics, one that is always near the top of the list is spiritual warfare. If you haven't experienced spiritual warfare, then you aren't a threat to Satan's kingdom of darkness. His troops attack the Christians who threaten their strongholds that are keeping human beings in spiritual bondage. And if you want some real firsthand experience, I suggest you go on a mission trip to a foreign country. You might want to visit my daughter Carissa and son-in-law Marshall in the Amazon jungle of Ecuador at their orphanage. You'll encounter real shamans who practice witchcraft in the open, and they don't like Christians invading their territory. You'll get a quick education in spiritual warfare. Let me give you a true example. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador last summer, Carissa and Marshall discovered one night large 2-foot-long footprints with toes mysteriously appeared on a bedroom wall in their freshly painted home that they had just rented. And that was only the beginning of the experience. That was the way the shamans welcomed them to town. I could do an entire program by myself telling you true stories of things that have happened to Susan and me over the years, but I don't talk about it because I really don't want to give Satan any attention. He is a defeated foe, and he is under my feet, and I have authority in the name of Jesus Christ to bind him. And there's just no sense in talking about his antics. What I'm concerned about is bringing freedom to people who are in bondage to Satan. My guest today has much experience in teaching Christians about satanic warfare. He has traveled and spoken throughout the USA on the topics of satanic ritual abuse and occult practices. He sits on the board of directors of several Christian counseling centers that specialize in childhood trauma, demonization, and disassociation. Dr. Preston Bailey is a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Seminary, Luther Rice Seminary, and the Biblical Life College Seminary. He was the producer and host of several TV programs on the former ACT television network, including The Christian Counselor and Improving Your Family Life. Dr. Bailey is also the author of Spiritual Warfare, Defeating the Forces of Darkness. His website is spiritualwarfarecenter.com. This is Dr. Preston Bailey's first time on True News. Mr. Bailey, welcome to the program.
It's great to be on here, Rick.
Well, I know right now we have a vast audience whose ears have perked up and are saying this is going to be a really interesting program. Let's start with the basics. What is spiritual warfare?
Now, spiritual warfare is when a Christian or Christians get together and pray and attack the gates of hell, as the Bible says. They pray against the forces of darkness from hindering the advancement of the kingdom of heaven.
And there are various levels of spiritual warfare. There's warfare that we fight over individuals, and then there's warfare that we fight over territory, over towns, cities, nations, over churches. Take a few minutes and talk about these various types of spiritual warfare.
The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, a physical battle, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. These are very specific groups of demonic forces. Christians just read this and just scantily go over it, but it's very specific. Principalities means a prince over a polity. Like a mayor is over a municipality, a city. So a prince is a prince over a polity. So in the book of Daniel, for example, there was the prince of Persia. We would say today the prince of Iran. This was a high-ranking prince demon over Iran. So the principality over a country is called a prince. There is many different type of princes. So this is basically Satan's organizational structure. Satan has counterfeited God's structure. God has archangels over the earth and the universe. So Satan has what is called the four crowned princes of hell. The four crowned princes of hell is where we get the word news from. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the four corners of the earth, the angels of the four corners of the earth. That is the north, the east, the west, and the south. That's where we get the word news. So on the evening news, it means events from the north, the east, and the west, and the south. So we've inundated into our society, but we forgot the origin. This is the origin of the word news. So there is a prince demon over the north, the east, the west, and the south. They're called the four crowned princes of hell. Then there is a fallen prince over a country, like a president or prime minister. There is a prince over a county, like a commissioner. A prince over a city, like a mayor, and a prince over a community, like a community leader. And sometimes, if a church is a threat to Satan, there is a prince assigned to a church. So So that is principalities. Well, the principalities give out their orders every day to the demons. So Satan gives his orders for the day to all of the principalities in the world. And, of course, he deals directly with the higher princes. Then it's a rank, like the military. So they give it to the lower princes and to the lower princes. Well, then, so each area of the earth is divided into territories or principalities. Missionaries call these principalities territories or territorial spirits. I've trained a lot of missionaries who have gone around the world, and when they get to the mission field and they battle demonic forces like you described in your introduction, they are ill-equipped of knowing what to do. So I've had missionaries from all over the world call me, and they appreciate that I tell them how to battle these principalities.
Dr. Bailey, the other day, we got a phone call here, and I've been doing this radio program for almost 15 years. We get a lot of strange phone calls, and not everybody likes me. Some people actually hate me. And
that's a compliment.
Yes, and this gentleman called the other day when we came in the morning. He'd called during the night, and he identified himself as a Satanist, and he said, "Rick Wiles, the Church of Satan is watching you." And let me ask you, it's not like I'm going to stay up at night, biting my nails, afraid of, these guys are watching me. But typically, and from what you know about Satanists, witches and whatever division, Satan's got his own denomination. So, whatever denomination, typically, how does this get assigned to somebody in his kingdom? In the physical realm, where actual humans get involved. When you hear something like Rick Wiles, Church of Satan is watching you, typically, what are they doing at this point?
What that means is Satan tells his higher-ranking princes the assignments for the day, like any large corporation. So in this situation, what probably happened was this. Satan says, "I don't like Prince Wiles, Rick Wiles' ministry." So he told his higher princes to do something about it. So he told the principality demon over the United States to pray against your ministry. So then the prince over the United States told the prince over Florida to attack your ministry. So then the prince demon over Florida goes to the prince over Vero Beach and said he wants to attack your ministry. So then that prince would appear at a satanic ritual where Satanists get together and worship Satan and cast their spells. So then that evil prince would say, "Your assignment is to cast a spell against Rick Wiles' ministry." So then the Satanists have a ritual. They could even kidnap a child and sacrifice it to give the curse greater power, and then they regularly would call it pray against your ministry. And so
but they use blood in a ritual, human or animal blood, intensify the spiritual power of their curses?
Yes, that's right. The power, they say the power is in the blood. What they do is they take... the devil takes Christian concepts because they're true. They're based on truth because God says it. So then they do the opposite and use it for evil. So when Christians sing, "There is power, power, power in the blood of the Lamb," They say there's power in the blood of a child's sacrifice. So they say that a blood sacrifice empowers any curse that they may cast. So that's the purpose of a blood sacrifice.
Now, what should I be watching for? Should I just, blow this away, brush it off, or should I be watching for particular signs of activity?
Yeah, well, they have done this against me for many, many years. So what they do is they have a specific, what's called satanic ritual, where they go and they cast spells, offer a blood sacrifice. I would say they did not offer an animal sacrifice. Animal sacrifice in a higher cult group is what it's called. It is very rare that they would offer an animal sacrifice unless it is designated in the satanic calendar. So normally they would have a blood sacrifice. The blood sacrifice either comes from someone in the cult group, is called a breeder, where during the ritual they impregnate her, and months later the child is born, so they sacrifice this child to Satan. They believe that when this baby is sacrificed to Satan, it gives them more power, and they say that the energy and the power of the life blood of that child goes into them when they die, when the baby dies, and gives them more power, so they have more power to come against Christians and the kingdom of God on earth. So what I specifically do every day, because many of the witches and warlocks led to Christ tell me that they have whole satanic groups placing curses on me on a regular basis. So here's what I do every day. I'll give you the exact prayer. I say, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I renounce and reject any curse, hex, spell, incantation, enchantment, any evil prayers, or any evil assignments against me and my family, and I claim by faith they were nailed to the cross of Christ 2,000 years ago and are covered under the blood of the Lamb and are null and void and cannot affect me and my family. I pray that the perfect will of God in heaven will be brought down to earth in my life and those in my family, and I receive it by faith, and I claim by faith that we all have on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I renounce these curses, and I pray that they would return back to the sender sevenfold as the law of the thief, and that they cannot affect me in any way. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, now I'm going to give you an opportunity to put your experience and your biblical authority into practice. I'm not making this up, Dr. Bailey. As I said at the beginning of the program, I have pre-recorded this program earlier because I'm traveling. And at the time of this program right now, it's late afternoon, and Dr. Bailey, since we started, the skies have become very black, and our building is rumbling with thunder. And my wife just notified me that we are under a tornado warning. And this has just happened in the last 5 minutes.
Okay.
So let's just pray right now, and I'll let you carry out the spiritual warfare so that this program is not interrupted by the electricity going out or anything else happening here I've had other programs where I've been in very intense discussions like this. I've had in broad daylight, not a cloud in the sky, explosions and, you know, electrical poles next to our building. All kinds of stuff has happened. So I'm going to let you pray authority right now that we're going to go through this recording. No disruptions here at our studio.
Okay. So, you want to allow me to pray for you and your ministry.
Yes, sir.
There in Vera Beach.
That's right.
Okay.
We don't want the lights to go out right now.
Yeah. The reason I said that is, I don't live in Vero Beach, so I actually don't have any authority in Vero Beach. But in the kingdom of heaven, delegated authority is just as good as direct authority.
Well, I'm in agreement with you, and I'm in Vero Beach, so...
Okay, well, let me go ahead and pray, okay? Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves under your authority. We renounce and reject any evil assignments against Rick Wiles and his ministry. We renounce any curses, hexes, spells, incantations, enchantments, or evil prayers prayed against his ministry. We claim by faith they were nailed to the cross of Christ 2,000 years ago and are covered by the blood of the Lamb and are null and void. We renounce any blood sacrifices or rituals that were performed by proxy on against him, and we claim that they were nailed to the cross of Christ and are covered by the blood of the Lamb and cannot affect him in any way. We renounce and reject the prince and the power of the air. So we pray that if there's any tornado, that you would create a counterclockwise force with your angelic host to come and oppose those tornadoes or storms and slow them down and neutralize them so that they cannot affect the electricity there in his building. We pray that all of the wiring and all of the plumbing and anything else that conducts electricity coming into the building would be shielded by the blood of the Lamb and a shield of faith so Satan cannot carry out any evil assignment to affect the building or the electricity in any way. We pray that you would send your powerful angelic forces from heaven to surround the building and push away any evil entity or any evil force or any evil demons that come to attack him and his facilities. We pray that you would fight them off, and we claim by faith that the battle is the Lord's, so we claim by faith that you would defeat these forces of evil, and that they were already defeated according to the book of Colossians when you died on the cross. So we claim that victory on behalf of Rick Wiles and True News Ministry, and we thank you by faith that your perfect will in heaven for Rick Wiles and his ministry will be brought down to earth, and we thank you by faith in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now we'll go on with this. We'll go on with this radio program.
Yes, the Prince of the Power of the Air. The 29 synonyms for Satan in the Bible is very specific. So a cult group will call on whatever specific name they need to cast a specific spell at the time. You see, notice he's called the Prince and the Power of the Air. So that is the atmosphere. So they want something that relates to the air going up to the ionosphere. So anything from the earth to the ionosphere would be controlled by the prince and the power of the air.
Dr. Bailey, we know that the angels have names because we know about Michael. Do the Satanists, the occultists, do they know names of of the fallen angels, of demonic?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely. Let me illustrate it this way. A number of years ago, I led the head warlock over a city to Christ. And immediately what he did is I baptized him in my church, and of course it upset the whole community. But he would write down names of the demons that he personally knew, and I put it in my book. But I said, what is the largest demon in the world? He said, without hesitation, he said, Demigorgon. He said, Demigorgon is the largest demon in the world. It's from China. And he tried to describe what it looked like. Would you like to see a picture of it? I said, yes. So he said, well, let's go down to the store. So he got in the car with me, and I went to Toys R Us, a children's toy store, and went over to the Dungeons & Dragons Masters game set, and the Dungeons & Dragons Masters manual has a picture of all the demons. So he showed me, he opened the book, and he said, that's what Demigorgon looks like. And just what he described is exactly what a picture of was in this D&D Master's Manual. I said, so this means the people who designed this has to know about demons and the occult. He says, of course. He said, how do you think that they know what they look like?
You know, Dr. Bailey, for our younger listeners, they're not even aware that just a few decades ago, we didn't see photographs. We didn't see drawings, representations of devils and demons. That was foreign. You just didn't see it. You didn't see it in toys. You didn't see it in movies. You didn't see it in popular culture. I mean, I can remember as a young Christian in the late 70s, early 80s, and I vividly remember this, 7-Eleven convenience stores had a coffee cup or a soft drink cup that had a demon's picture on it. And I remember the uproar among Christians, like, this is shocking. They put a demon's face on this cup because it was so unusual. And so now people who are, you know, in their teens and their 20s, even 30s, they are so saturated with the images of demons, they don't even know it.
Yeah, so that that's actually very tame stuff compared to what happens now. You know, many of the killers in the Columbine High School were actually Satanists. And when they went in the school, they actually targeted Christians. And you don't hear this much in the news, but they were Satanists. They worshiped Satan. They had satanic rituals on a regular basis. And they went to school to kill the Christians. They targeted the specific Christians. That's why they would go past others and kill others. They went and targeted the Christians. So now Satan is controlling people on Earth who will go and specifically kill Christians. And this is happening in schools. Nothing is random in the kingdom of darkness. It's not random.
Well, you know, the guy in Tucson, Arizona, Jared Loughner, I think it was his name, the media covered up this fact, that when the police went to his home, there was a satanic altar in his backyard.
Yes, this is actually very common. For years, most of the serial murderers have actually been Satanists, and most of them have sold their soul to the devil.
In the introduction, I mentioned this little incident that happened in Ecuador last summer when my daughter and son-in-law moved there to start an orphanage. And they actually moved into a home. It was fairly a new construction in the town, and, you know, freshly painted, and suddenly these giant footprints appeared on the wall. I saw myself. I was down there in December, and the footprints are still there, you know. They can't get rid of it. Now, the town is full of shamans. They're right there in the Amazon jungle, and they're taking in children that have been abused or cast aside or whatever, just horrible stories of what's happening to these children. But the families, you know, the adults, you know, their spiritual mentors are shamans. So what do you think happened there? What, you know, these big footprints manifesting on the wall?
Yeah, that's very clearly that the shamans do not like that ministry. So they placed a curse against them. Now, what I do is when I lead, for example, a Satanist to Christ, they actually take me to the ritual site outside. And I go, and I'm aggressive. So I go to the ritual site, and I walk around it, and I pray. And I pray that any curses or blood sacrifices on this ritual site would be null and void and nailed to the cross of Christ. And I pray that God would cleanse this site by the blood of the Lamb, and I renounce any evil used on this site for Satan, and I dedicate the site to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that no more spells they cast on this site would work any longer. And I have, through the years, just aggressively gone after the leaders of the cult. See, because they're used to everybody being scared of them, so they don't know what to think when a Christian confronts them to their face. And I've led, because of this, I've led many Satanists and witches to Christ through the years.
I want to give you another true example. This just happened really recently. And it was a long night for me. It happened on a Saturday night just a week or two ago at the time we're recording this program. Because of the generosity of our supporters, we were able to buy two vehicles for the orphanage, an SUV, and it was a used SUV and a brand new van. And Carissa and Marshall, we're so happy and excited. They've been under so much pressure and warfare that on the first weekend that they had the vehicles, they took the children on a journey to a nearby city, which is a couple hours away. And again, they're in the Amazon, and you got the Andes Mountains there. It's very, very remote. And so they took the children on this trip, and they were coming back at night on the mountains, Andes Mountains. And it started to rain very hard, and this brand new van on the Andes Mountain, the engine started to rev extremely high, going down the mountain. And Marshall couldn't get the engine to slow down. It was, the RPMs were just shooting up. They're going down the mountain. He managed to get the van stopped on the side of the road. And you got to understand, there are no guardrails. We're talking the Andes Mountains. You go over the side, you go down, 500,000 feet. Okay. And they managed to get the van stopped. It's raining. They got out of the van. Thank God the Lord had them stop right in front of a very old, some type of shelter there that they were able to get under just a couple feet and get out of the rain, but they're sitting in the mud. Anyhow, Carissa told me, Dr. Bailey, that had they gone maybe another half mile, there would have been no cell telephone connection. And she called me on her cell phone from Ecuador. And she called me. She called me, and it was around 10:30 at night, and I could, immediately I heard the tension and the apprehension in her voice, and she's telling me, "Dad, we are stranded. the van, it just stopped. It just broke down. We're in the middle of nowhere. And I just, you know, as a father, I just had this horrible feeling, you know.
Sure.
I felt helpless. My daughter and son-in-law, my grandchildren, and these children from the children's home are stranded on the side of a mountain in the rain, and they're 2 hours to the closest town.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Well, I mean, obviously we prayed, Lord, protect them, shield them, send them help. I don't know what you're going to do, Father, but you got to do something right away. Well, they were there for several hours, but here's what happened. The last phone call she made was around 1 a.m. and she goes, Dad, I think I'm in the Bermuda Triangle. I go, why? She said, you're not going to believe this. But two more vehicles came down this mountain and came to a dead stop in front of us. Their engines shut down right in front of us. There are two more vehicles sitting here. She goes, this is like a Bermuda Triangle. What is going on here? Have you ever encountered anything like that? Any bizarre spiritual manifestation over a geographical region where things start to become just, you know, unexplainable?
Yeah, almost several times a week I have to deal with the bizarre and the unusual. So this is actually pretty normal for me. Here's the best thing I think Christians should do, especially if a person is in a foreign country as a missionary. What Christians need to do is what I call preparation praying. Preparation praying. That means every morning when you wake up, you talk to God and you say, God, today I'm going to do this, 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 and this. So how can I pray against the enemy who would possibly attack me in these areas? So then you pray against the possible things that the devil would do. Let me just give you an example. I pray every day against any evil assignments against me, which would cover most things. But if I know I'm going to do something, I pray specifically. For example, if I know I'm going to drive somewhere for a long distance, I say, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would go before me and clear out the path, that you would go behind me, above me, below me, on both sides. I pray that you would cause other drivers to not be inattentive and hit me. I pray that nothing would happen to my engine or to the mechanics of my car, or that I would have a flat tire. I pray that you would get me there safely. And, of course, Satan would try to do those things, but he would also try to get you confused or whatever. So I pray against that.
So you don't pray in generalities. You pray with precision.
Yes. If you go hunting, you don't hunt with a shotgun. You use a .30-06 rifle and aim very specifically. So that's the way our prayers need to be. But I also believe in attacking the gates of hell. A verse that every Christian needs to learn from memory is Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus said, and I tell you that you are Peter, and the word Peter, this is a play on words in Greek. The New Testament was originally written in Greek. Peter means a smaller rock that's broken off of a larger piece. So Jesus said, and I tell you that you are Peter, a smaller rock from a larger rock. And then I believe Jesus pointed to himself and said, but on this rock, the large rock, the rock of Gibraltar, I will build my church. So the church is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Now, many Christians misinterpret this. In Greek, this is not a picture of the gates of hell attacking the church. This is a picture of the church attacking the gates of hell. It says, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So Hades cannot overcome the church, so we need to attack the gates of hell. And then the next verse says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys represent authority in the Bible. And I will give you the authority of the kingdom of heaven. And here it is. Here's the secret. Whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. There's not a tense like this in English. This is a very unique tense in Greek. So it's saying, in the present moment, whatever you bind on earth, right here in this present moment, will have already been bound in the past in heaven. So when we bind something here on earth, automatically the effect of that prayer goes back to the past and changes the past, which changes the present. And then it says, whatever you loose, the Greek word is luo, to release, whatever you release on earth will have already been released in heaven, which is a past tense that's already been completed.
And it was so, completed at Calvary.
It was completed at Calvary. That's exactly correct. So we are not to go through this world as scared little rabbits or cowards. We as Christians are to go through the world binding any evil by the blood of the Lamb and releasing the perfect will of God in heaven.
When my audience hears me talk about my faith is in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, this is what I'm referring to. I have to constantly declare that my faith, Rick Wells's faith, is solely placed in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, upon the cross at Calvary. And I am making a definitive statement to the whole world, to the whole universe, that I believe that Jesus defeated Satan at Calvary, made a spectacle of him, made a public humiliation of him. And that from that point on, because Christ is now in me, I have that authority, and Satan is under my feet, and I do not have to wage this war over and over and over. I have to remind Satan, you were defeated at Calvary.
Yes, that's correct. We are God's ambassadors on earth. We don't need to cower down to anybody. It's like through the years in my ministry, I've been able to find children who were kidnapped by a satanic cult. I just walked in their house. And I said, I command you to tell me where the child is. And they told me. And then I walked in the house where the child was located, and I just grabbed her and took her to safety.
I know exactly what you're talking about. There are four men. I'm not even going to say the state. There are four men in a state penitentiary for murder because the Holy Spirit revealed to me crimes, and I was searching for a teenage girl that had been kidnapped. And the Lord led me by the Holy Spirit to the very house that she was being held. And I did not know, Dr. Bailey, that a murder had been committed in that same house days earlier. In fact, I knew about the murder because it was in the news in another state. And the police did not connect the two. They didn't know that the body found in one state was actually murdered in another state. But the Holy Spirit led me to the place of the murder as I was searching for the kidnapped child. And all I prayed was, Lord, shine your light upon evil. And he killed two birds with one stone. He got the girl released and put the murderers in prison.
Yes, that's right. But we as Christians should not be cowards. And I'm afraid most pastors in America are actually, they've told me to my face, they don't want to preach against Satan because they think that Satan will then attack them. And many churches, their pastors are scared that if they stand for truth, that their church members will kick them out, and then what kind of job are they going to have? So we live in a country now where many pastors are scared, so they want to do things that's politically correct instead of preach against Satan and claim the victory we have in Christ. Now, at this point, let me point out a specific verse in the armor of God that's very profound, that is wrongly misinterpreted by pastors all over the world. And it says this, in Ephesians 6:10-18, it tells about the armor of God. And it says, in Ephesians 10:17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So pastors, I've heard my whole life, preach that you quote verses at the devil and he will flee. Well, that's not what that means at all. The word of God is the logos, and theos, the logical discourse of the word of God, the hagiographa, the holy scriptures. But it doesn't say that there. It says the sword of the Spirit is not a symbol, by the way. It's a real sword. So if a demon is attacking you and it's a few feet away, you can just say, I claim by faith to have the sword of the Spirit and swing it. Notice it's a spiritual sword, so we can't see it. But the demons will see it, and they will be stabbed. It's a real sword. See, we allegorize the Bible way too much. Spiritualization, I say, is the opposite of practical. The armor of God is practical. So when it says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, the Greek word is the word rhema. And I encourage any Greek scholar to prove me wrong on this. When it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, the rhema means the individually revealed word of God directly from God himself. It is not quoting scripture. Jesus was tempted by Satan three times, and Satan quoted scripture. So it is truth that Satan fears.
Pastor Bailey, one time I was in a church alone praying, and this experience truly happened out of nowhere. I mean, I was in the church, in the sanctuary, just walking around praying and interceding, and suddenly it was like a three-dimensional image appeared in front of me, and it was a man, a being in armor. It was brilliant white armor, and he had a sword, and it was glistening. I mean, you could not have polished that sword anymore. And I said, Lord, what am I seeing? And what I heard in my spirit, I didn't hear anything audible, just what I heard in my spirit was, he said, that is you when you are wearing the full armor of God.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I said, Lord, what are you showing me right now? And he said, when you are fully clothed in my armor, with all the pieces of the armor, Satan doesn't know if it's you or my son Jesus.
That's right.
But if you are missing just one piece, he laughs and he knows it's you. And he aims his dart at the opening.
That's exactly correct. That is an excellent description of what happens in reality. So when we don't, when we fail to put on the armor of God by faith, by prayer, then we're spiritually naked, and the devil knows that. You know, he just looks.
Okay, now we've got about 7 minutes remaining in this program. I wish I had another 70. Oh, you will be back, I promise you. I want to talk about your work in counseling, in bringing spiritual deliverance to people who were in the Illuminati.
Yes. Let me just say one other thing, and then I'll go to that. When your daughter was on that mountain, here's what she could have done. She could have, to pray the armor of God, she would say, Lord, I pray that you would give me a word, the Rhema, that you would reveal to me how I should pray in this situation. And here's the way I would pray. I would say, Heavenly Father, this was a principality demon over this area. So I would say, Lord, I humble myself under your authority. I bind this principality demon over this area, and I pray his hands would be bound so he cannot harm me. His feet would be bound so he cannot follow me. His eyes would be blinded so he cannot see me, and his ears would be deaf so he cannot hear the words of the people he's signed to attack. So I pray that the force that he's using to mess up my van, I bind it and I claim it's covered by the blood of the cross, and I command that power to leave, and I pray the perfect will of God in heaven would be manifested in my life and in this van, and that this van would work normally and that we would be able to get home safely in Christ's name, amen. So people can do that in any situation. Now, when there is what's called the Illuminati. The Illuminati on the internet, if you search the Illuminati, it'll say it began in 1776 in Bavaria.
Yes.
Under Adam Weishaupt. That's not true. That is the Bavarian Illuminati. That the true facts about the Illuminati is not going to be found on the internet. Many of the great and profound scientific truths that Illuminati scientists have discovered are not going to be on the internet. They're not going to allow it. So a person is born in the Illuminati. The Illuminati began at the Tower of in Babylon, in ancient Babylon, under Nimrod.
Are you saying there's a bloodline?
Yes, there is a bloodline. So a person is not born in the Illuminati. Excuse me, a person does not join the Illuminati. They're born in it. So there's 13 specific bloodlines coming from Nimrod. And so Nimrod is a type of the Antichrist. So the Antichrist is like a reincarnation of Nimrod. Of course, we as Christians, we don't believe in reincarnation. I said it is a type of of the reincarnation of Nimrod. So Nimrod is represented in the constellations as Orion. Orion is called the Mighty Hunter. So the constellation Orion is Nimrod. The Bible says in Genesis, Nimrod was a mighty warrior against the Lord. So Nimrod was ruthless, and that's exactly what the Antichrist will be. So many of the ancient monuments that cannot be explained from modern technological means, when they are aligned exactly towards the constellation of Orion or Nimrod, then that will be connected to the appearance of the Antichrist.
and Nimrod being the founder of Babylon, the first empire after the flood.
I believe
that what they were attempting to do was to resurrect the pre-flood world Luciferian government.
That's right.
And the pursuit of the secret knowledge, the hidden knowledge, that is the focal point of all the occultic groups today, New Age groups and mysticism. They're all seeking the hidden secret knowledge. What are they talking about? It is the knowledge that was in Babylon. It was the knowledge that how the world existed before the flood, and Lucifer ran this world.
And yeah, that's exactly correct.
And that is what they're seeking to bring back in the last days. That is the world government. That is the last beast. That is the fourth beast that is coming. It is a resurrection of the pre-flood Luciferian government. The Illuminati is the bloodline that exists today with the assignment to bring about the resurrection of this pre-flood Luciferian government.
And that's exactly what they're doing now, the New World Order. So the head of the New World Order, there's many organizations, but the head of it is the Illuminati. The word Illuminati means the illuminated ones, the enlightened ones. In other words, they think they're smarter than everybody else.
Their third eye has opened.
Yes, the all-seeing eye of the Illuminati on the dollar bill. The Illuminati from Bavaria, many of them came to the United States and were part of our founding fathers. But so what you said is exactly correct. So anyway, you're born into the Illuminati. So if you hear these people who claim, well, I joined the Illuminati and blah, 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 then, well, they're lying. That's just not true. They have delusions of grandeur.
Hey, we're down to about 20 seconds. Do you think Barack Hussein Obama is part of the bloodline?
No, he's not. I've asked specifically. He is called the forerunner of the Antichrist. But Hillary is in the Illuminati.
How about George Bush and Dick Cheney?
They are not in the 13 bloodlines. There's two groups of people dealing with the Illuminati. The perfect ones, which are the 13 perfect bloodlines, and those who are called actuarials who work for them.
All right.
So
well, I'll tell you
Bush
what.
And them work for.
Okay. I promise we'll have Dr. Bailey back on the program later after I return from these travels sometime in early May or so. We'll pick up this conversation. My guest, Dr. Preston Bailey, his website, Spiritual Warfare Center, and his book, Spiritual Warfare, Defeating the Forces of Darkness. And I want to just say to those of you who are having trouble overcoming temptation and the devil, here's a formula that I use personally and I advise others. Submit to God, resist the devil will flee. You have authority. Put it into practice. Submit to God. Resist the devil. The devil will flee.